All right, if you'll click into that PowerPoint, you ready? All right, we're going to do two things. I'm going to do some teaching today. But before that, as a senior leader here, or it can be any leader, but what we try to do, we don't do this often, maybe once a month, I comment on what's going on in the world, in the political world, because it's a big deal. The reason the world is so messed up is because morality has stepped back from it. Christians have stepped back from it. Judeo-Christians have stepped back from the world and has created a vacuum. And there's no such thing as a vacuum in nature. And other philosophies, other world views have stepped into it. There's, for many, many years, people said Christians should not be involved in politics. That's the most absurd thing I've ever seen. Politics, we live in politics. So why would we abandon it? I love in the 1500s, there was a guy named John Knox. This was the time of the Reformation. And Martin Luther had already done his, nailed his 95 theses in Wittenberg, Germany. It was causing a civil war across the continent because it was a battle of worldviews. John Knox was in Scotland. He was an apostle, great reformer. He eventually, the Presbyterian Church came out of John Knox, or came, you know, he started the Presbyterian Church. And I love this story about John Knox. In Scotland there, Edinburgh, he lived just a few houses down from Queen Victoria. Well, not Victoria, that was England. I don't know what her name was, but lived a few blocks down from the Queen. For 13 years, he prayed for reformation. And this took 13 years of praying hard. Before the revival and the Reformation of Martin Luther, or the what we now call the Protestant Reformation, came into Scotland. He prayed for 13 years. He was a few blocks down from Queen Victoria. Victoria, why do I keep saying that? The Queen's Palace. And he got heavily involved in politics. Back then, it was a monarchy. There was not even an upper chamber or lower chamber like they have in British Parliament now, or the House of Representatives or the Senate we have now. It was just a dictatorship in the form of, they called it a monarchy. Whenever she drove by and he heard that she had passed a law that was against the Bible, against the ungodly, he would holler out at her in her little chariot deal. Did you pass this law? And if she said yes, he said, well, I'm telling my people, he had one of the biggest churches in Scotland. He said, I'm telling my people this week to disobey you. We're not following that law because there's a higher law, and it's the Bible. And you're under the Bible. She'd get so mad. And she'd go on. Next week, he'd tell people, ignore that law. There's a higher law. Eventually, this led to democracy, and it was first birthed in this country. See, there was a phrase back then that rex is lex. That was Latin. The king is law. And if you look at your history, it was flipped to lex is rex. The law is king. Of course, we grow up under this thing now. That was a revolutionary concept 300 years ago. And the law they used was the Bible, primarily the Ten Commandments. And so he would just boldly say, I'm telling them not to follow you. We're not obeying you. I tell you what, we need that bam. Yeah. We need that Reformation spirit. Amen. Here in this country.
Right.
Christians are too concerned about being politically correct. Meanwhile, we go down a route where we're in bondage to things that are not biblical.
Right.
And so, think about it. What if the state of Georgia, every time it passed an ungodly law that was against the Bible, every pastor in this state, tens of thousands of them, got up, told their congregation, ignore that law, we're not obeying it.
Amen.
They'd have to change it. See, it's not the problem with the people, it's the problem with the leaders that are too concerned about making people like them.
Right.
And see, this is the thing. When you're concerned about people liking you, that means you've stopped living for God's approval. You cannot live for man's approval and God's approval. Sometimes they coincide, but leaders should be leaders because they're hearing and following the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, I'm going to just share a little bit about what's going on. This is a touchy subject, I realize, as we go in here, because technically half the people in here voted Democratic for Hillary, half the people voted for Donald Trump, Republican. And I'm not going that way, but I'm telling you right now, all the chaos in our country is a battle of worldviews. For about 70 years now, well, let's just jump in here. And to show you, this is a big deal. Many people, secular and Christian writers, are saying we're on the edge, not of physically fighting, although it's close, of a second American Civil War. The first Civil War, 160 years ago, was over worldviews. Do states have rights, or does the federal government ultimately go over it? Should you have slavery, etc.? Those were worldviews, big ideas that drove to a battle. We're not going to end up in a battle, but there's big worldviews. And let me tell you, there are three foundations of every country. There's first the moral foundation, then there's the economic foundation, and then there's the political foundation. Every country has this. When I was in Nepal last year, the moral foundation, it goes in this order. Every country is moral, is based on some moral foundation. What's morality? It's choosing what is right and wrong. It doesn't have to be a Judeo-Christian background. Saudi Arabia, and then built on the moral value, your economics reflect it, and then your political structure reinforces it. For instance, in Saudi Arabia, Iran, those are based on a moral value, Islam. Because of that, their banking system is different. How they buy and sell to some degree is different. Their economic system is based on their moral value. And then there is a political that reinforces it. It's a king in Saudi Arabia. It's a king by the name of the Iman. He's basically a king, which is the chief religious ruler in Iran. And so this is the problem of Christianity. Christianity is always thought, or Christians, if we get the right people in office, our country will be in the right order. No, that's from the top down. It has to come from the bottom up for it to be lasting. But right now, on the left, it's what our country was founded on. You can choose it or not choose it. I'm not making a decision here. I'm just telling you the world view. What was on the left was we were founded in... History's trying to rewrite itself, but it's not even going very well because it's so prominent. I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. Everywhere you go in the politically correct capital of the world that's trying to do with Christianity is the Ten Commandments, is verses everywhere on all their monuments. So the rewrite is just craziness. It's a wish. It's not the truth. But we were founded on Judeo-Christian values. We were founded on capitalism. And we were founded on nationalism. Let me define that. This is how we were till about 70 years ago. We were founded on the right and wrong. See, every society, our society says, well, let's just do whatever. It's amoral. It's impossible. Every society has to pick how you decide what laws are made. Laws are a reflection of what you think is right and what you think is wrong. Now, we were based on biblical values. We were based on capitalism, which is not the capitalism we have now. It was different. Capitalism is simply this. Capitalism is the decisions economically are made by individuals and companies. Then nationalism is really more at a state level when you first started. So those were the values. Now, you see all this stuff playing out in the news. And I'm trying to give you a filter back in one step up from the issues of immigration, regulation, all this stuff, to see it's a world view. What we started doing basically around World War II, 70 years ago, and was greatly accelerated the last 8 years, this is why there's a big battle, is our morality is no longer based on Judeo-Christian, it's based on humanism. That's a fancy word, but you have to understand this. Humanism, that means right and wrong is decided by humans. Popularity, democracy, whatever, or judges' court somewhere. And so that's okay, but what happens when the humans decide this can easily go into a, what's the word I'm trying to think? It can change often. Communism was humanism. Okay? It can be a freeing thing if they choose right. If not, it can be the most... You can go into dictatorship by majority vote. You follow what I'm talking about? So that's the battle. And the reason there's such a battle is the last 8 years, those that wanted this thought it was sewed up, and now they've elected people that are trying to go the other way, and it's World War II or World War III. Economically, we've been moving to socialism. Socialism is economic decisions are made by laws and regulations. And that's why you see all this battle of trying to reverse regulations to try to push more to individuals. I'll leave it to you to what's the best. I'm just trying to give you a framework here. But I will say the capitalism we have now is not the capitalism we were founded on, because the capitalism we have now is tied to humanism and not to Judeo-Christian values. This is an important point. When your capitalism, your country is defined on humanism, that means you always do the best for you. But when it was tied to biblical values, there was a value of life, there was a value of family, there was a value of people. You didn't make decisions just based on you as the CEO or the stockholder. You wanted your people to be blessed. You wanted your people to have good families. You see how that those things are based on your moral decisions. But if you're a CEO and you believe, you know, tomorrow we die, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die, you're going to exploit whatever you can, because there is no afterlife of an accountability.
Man, that's right.
All right, then the last is a globalist. And what's happened, we don't have time to go into it, but the last 70 years, especially the last 8, is trying to move decisions away from counties and states and the federal government to something beyond us. The UN, European Union is a perfect example. That's, people go, why did Britain get away? Britain left or voted to leave the European Union. There's tremendous pressure to go back in. It's because they got tired of Britain and their country, London in their city, or Manchester in their city, or Wales. They got tired of Brussels in Belgium, the headquarters of the European Union, telling them how to run their business. That's the essence of it. It's where are these decisions going to be made? Some people think that's a good thing. Some people think it's not. I personally like the left side, because the left side has created in the history of mankind, it created the fastest, most free, most prosperous country that has ever been done in 250 years. In the last 30 to 40 years, we now fell, if you saw the latest economic freedom index, we fell from 1 to 12, I think, in just 8 years. So the proof is in the pudding. Why is it harder to make money? Because you're taxed more and there's laws and regulations. But either way, that's what's going on. Take the history lesson. You can agree or disagree with it. I'm not trying to convince you, but that is, in my opinion, what is happening. It's a battle of worldviews. We may get hung up on the immigration issue. We may get hung up on the regulations issue. And all those are important. There will be mistakes made by who's ever in power. Why? Because they're humans. But it's important to understand the worldview and why it's really, in some ways, like a civil war going on.